welcome to today's podcast. My name is Helen Tovey, I'm editor of Family Tree, and with me is
Nathan Ward. Hello there.
Hi, Nathan. So how's things going?
Not too bad, thank you. Full of the busyness as per usual.
That's good. We've had some podcast emails, which is always really, really nice.
Lovely.
Well, as somebody who flips something that you tend to find a bit confusing, and to be honest, I find it really confusing too. They flip it on the head and use it, say, it's actually a strength. It's that, you know, your strength is your weakness thing. So, you know, you have all your David Hearns, and I do agree with you, unless you were right in the thick of that bit of research, it's really easy to lose track of which generation you're looking at. So for me, when I have these runs of people all call the same name, which tend to be men, because women conveniently actually change their name each generation, which helps you kind of keep track of them. But so the men who are having these runs of names, and even in the file names when I download censuses and stuff like that, I'll say Thomas Jones, born 1860 or whatever. So to give me a clue, like which generation one I'm talking about. Anyway, she said that it's Debbie. So thanks, Debbie, for making us think about it from this point of view. Debbie says, Nathan, don't panic. Don't feel confused about all these generations being named the same generation after generation, because actually that kind of those strong naming patterns, they can be really helpful to help you feel confident that you are with the right family. So I like that positive spin.
Yeah, I guess that is a good way to look at it. Yeah, I've definitely, particularly on this side, I can't remember what, I think it's David and then Julia and Elizabeth get repeated quite a lot. So yeah, it is good to see that people do follow that tradition and keep it going. But it's just like you say, when you're lost in the nitty gritty in it and Ancestry's throwing like its dirty hints at you, and you're like, oh yeah, this is David. And then you're like, which David is this again? So unless I'm totally on it with the actual dating times, then it is confusing. But yeah, for the general strengthening of your tree, that's it is good.
So I just thought it's nice. Thank you for the help, Debbie.
Oh, it's a good tip. It's good. It's positive. It's not negative. And I like that.
Yeah, I definitely think more brains the merrier when it comes to doing family history. Somebody having that fresh take on things.
Definitely.
You did a bit of a novel thing with your run recently. Do you want to talk about your run? Because you do a lot of running, don't you? But this was a run with a difference, a very important run, really.
Yeah, I mean, we joked about it a while ago, back when we were talking to Jude, about becoming like a running genealogist. And like, I've got lots of, again, this whole thing about me having everybody in the local area. There's lots of old places that I can go visit, like where people used to live, or streets or pubs, etc. And they're all within running distance. So obviously we made this joke about maybe becoming this running genealogist for Remembrance Day. I thought, oh, okay, I'll go and do this. I'll actually go and do a run that's based on my family history. And my mum told me about, well, obviously I'd done some research about Edward Nelson, who we all started to know as Tank Man. My mum told me a bit about him and said he was on quite a few different cenotaphs or war memorials in the local area. And she wasn't quite sure exactly how many, but at least two. So I thought, I'll plot a route and I'll go visit them all. And hopefully he will be on them all. And then I can, you know, my way of sort of thinking and commemorating it.
Yeah.
So it was quite cool. It was ended up being a 7-mile run. And I went to 4 memorials, one in Calverley, one in the Apley Bridge area, which I get a lot of hits for when it comes to all my documents on Ancestry. Everybody seems to live around that area. Then another one in Rodley and then one in Farsley, although that was in a bit of a limbo area. And I've never, ever been to that one before. So that's quite a mystery. As it was, he was on two of them. The first one, he was just called E. Nelson. And that was on the Carver Cenotaph. And then on the Greengates one, he was down as Edward Nelson. And I don't know why, but I found that really touching. Like, he got his full name as opposed to just his initial. That whole cenotaph was really nice. It was in this sort of walled garden and it was really well maintained and looked after. It was showing a lot of respect. I'm not saying the other ones didn't, but this one just really sort of struck me at how grand it was. And then for him to be named with his first name and his surname, it just felt really, I don't know why, personal, but it felt a bit more real. He's like, this guy's a real person. I think that's the whole thing. And like, my big takeaway from the entire run was, you know, the run was incidental. It's the least I can do. It's a nice way for me to get into my family history. But it made me look at this person that was just a name and a number on my family tree and all a couple of documents, it made me realize that this was a real person. And, you know, he was half my, it was less than half my age when he died, and he hadn't, you know, experienced life. So it really made me feel this guy as a person. And I think, again, seeing his name actually saying Edward, it's like, oh my God, this is a boy that's just died in the tank. So it just gave me a bit more respect and context, and
just taking that time, really, isn't it, just to reflect?
Yeah, reflect, that's a very good word. Yeah, it was that, because day to day, I'll be honest, I don't reflect. I'm very much motoring on with life, as everybody is. And even when you're doing your family tree, unless you really get absorbed in one person's story, they can just be facts and figures. And as I said on the thing on the video, I've never experienced war and never want to experience war. So I don't know what it felt like, but just a chance to sit and think about that for a little bit. It's, yeah, it's heartbreaking. And also, you know, it's quite stirring as well that they were willing to do that for the country.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to watch Nathan's video, then if you head over to our Facebook page, then you'll find it on there or on other social media streams. Or if you get stuck, just email me at helen.t@family-tree.co.uk and I can send you the link like to find it, because I'm terrible at finding things on social media. Nathan knows that. I'm always having to ask him where things are when I can't find a post. But what I found really interesting as well about your memorials that you visited, Nathan, is a couple of them look like they were contemporary, so probably erected in the 1920s, you know, within just a few years of the war, when there was that massive memorial kind of building, almost like a building program, because there was so much heartbreak and mourning and a lot of building went up. But then subsequently, people have continued to honour and erect new memorials in the intervening years and decades. One of the memorials you went to looked really modern. So did you have any clues about that one? What one was that one? It's like cream stone, not Portland stone rectangles that we're used to in Commonwealth war graves. It was much more kind of rural looking, quite rough hewn, I think.
There were two. There was one that was the Rodley one, which, because the first two were statues, which we call cenotaphs. I know we've had this conversation before. Anyway, but the third one was like granite or marble, and the names had been etched in, and it was like black with gold writing. So it looks very new. Like, I think it was redone quite recently, not quite recently, but in sort of last 20, 30 years as a memorial garden. So that was like two big slabs of wood with, not wood, sorry, of marble with the names on, and then various sort of, again, stone around it. And then the last one, which I've lived quite close to this one, didn't know where it was. I've never been on half these roads to get to this one. It was really tucked away down, I have to go like down a dirt track, around a field, past this really randomly built kids' play area. And then you go down through this little wood, and it was literally just two pieces of stone with then two pieces of stone either side to act as chairs. It felt really rustic and old, and quite liked it because it was such a contrast to the other ones. But it was, I know it wasn't the point of the run, but it was very interesting to see the different styles of memorial.
Well, it is really interesting to see. So I think it's really important that we do kind of almost remember the memorials as well. So I used to live right on the outskirts of Peterborough, and it after the First World War, they built the local hospital and as the war memorial. So that's all well and good. And as far as I can recall, over the door of the hospital, it gave words to that effect so that everyone would know that that hospital was actually Peterborough's First World War memorial. So it's a building to be a memorial. So that's a really cool idea, isn't it? And it kind of makes sense that it's a place where people can go and, you know, treasure their health and hopefully have a good future. And it feels like the flip side from war almost. But then the kind of danger with that is, however many years ago, about maybe very roughly 15 years ago, Peterborough needed a new hospital. And I think in the meantime, it had had additions to the old hospital and everything else as well. There'd been like 1960s, 50s, whatever developments. So now this hospital is no longer. And so they had to erect a new, as you call it, cenotaph. So like a traditional, you know, pointed stone in Peterborough town centre. So if you didn't know about the hospital, it looks as though Peterborough hadn't bothered with a war memorial until the last 10, 20 years. And it's like it had bothered with a war memorial, but it had taken a different guise.
Right.
I don't want any descendants to think, oh, Peterborough couldn't be bothered to have a war memorial. God, I'm trying to remember all this local history. I'm sure there are lots of really good local history organisations. They'll keep tabs on it all. I don't need to worry about that. I can just stick with the family history.
I think it's good, though, isn't it, just to have anything there? The Rodley one, although it was more modern, it was quite nice to see. It felt like it was a memorial garden. They had a bench, like a metal cast iron bench next to it that had poppies integrated into the metal. So it was totally black and then with a few red poppies, but metal ones. And then even the run up to it, there's like a, I don't know, like an electric substation that's not very sightly. And they've put fence around that and then they've meshed it all with poppies that are there all the time, metal poppies. So it's just good that they actually have put some money into keeping these memories alive, because obviously things can just get a little bit lost and a little bit neglected. So I don't know when they did that. But yeah, the Farsley one was fascinating. It literally felt like I was at Stonehenge. It was just this big slab of stone that had been carved into.
Mm. Yeah, monumental. Like it's saying in stone, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a monolith. It's just there. But a very random location, though. It was in between two villages down this dirt track. And like before I got to it, I was like, if I've been to the one that's in Carvely, what is this one going to be called? Because it's technically still in Carvely and it wasn't in Farsley. It's just a weird location. I still don't understand the geography and the why it was put there. Maybe that's a mystery that I can like waste my time searching.
Yeah, you would be able to, wouldn't you? Like local newspaper reports and local council reports, they will all have people debating where's a good location and where wasn't the funding for it, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder, like, was the plans to build loads of houses around there and it was going to be a new village or a new hub, or the village was going to expand in that direction and then for whatever reason it didn't do. So it was just this random slab in between two villages in a field. But equally, it kind of adds to the mystique because you had to go through this little, like, forested bit and I'm, like, literally walking through this going, I might not come out alive here. I don't know where I am. It's just there. It felt a little bit like Chronicles of Narnia. It had that sort of woodland vibe.
Yeah, those sort of surprise journeys or surprise when you come across things by surprise. So Diane Lindsay wrote about this in Family Tree just recently. I think whether it would be the November issue, maybe the December issue. And she was just reminiscing, nothing to do with war memorials. So about her childhood, and I think it would have been probably in the 1940s or 50s. And how her and some of her friends, I think it was war-torn Coventry, so there was lots of building work which hadn't been redone then. And it was a summer day and they went off, just as children used to in the past, out for the day with a little packet of sandwiches, be back by dusk kind of thing, yeah, which you wouldn't dream of doing with a modern child in today's world. And then they came across a garden and she said it's one of those memories that she's just stayed with her whole life and she felt as though she'd gone into a secret place.
Lovely.
It is lovely, isn't it?
It is. It's like the adventure and the mystery of it, which as adults we kind of lose, don't we?
We do. But then sometimes as you coming across that war memorial, then you kind of get back to it again. When you stumble across a church or a churchyard, which is kind of in a place, where the village maybe has now moved on, and so it's kind of quite isolated and you're not really expecting it. And it can just give you a real moment of stillness because I think of a few churches, three times that's happened to me, and you just stop and take notice of time passing, and even though you don't know any of the people in the graveyards, it's just...
Yeah. Makes you aware of history, doesn't it, and life.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely.
We've been having a busy time on the old work front recently, haven't we, Nathan? We've had so many good talks, it's untrue. So we've had Nathan's Run, so we'll point you to that if you'd like to watch that, because it's a poignant and useful and it's a good watch. It's only a few minutes long, isn't it? And also I think it shows, I loved it because it was just ordinary England. It's a little bit, looks like it's rained recently, doesn't it?
I was very lucky. It literally looked like it was about to really, really chuck it down. So I was terrified I was going to get soaking wet. I'm not sure it's very interesting. If you want to see a man struggle running up a hill, maybe it's for you.
Yes, I think it is interesting. And another thing which is free to watch and very, very good is Jen Baldwin, who's the research specialist at Find My Past. She gave a talk very recently, which you've recorded. It's available on the Family Tree YouTube channel, free to watch. And it's about researching your First World War ancestors. And following on from the thing that we bang on about virtually every week, apart from research logs, is about building out the story, not just having the basic details. And Jen is just next level. Honestly, Nathan, I felt like somebody had, you know, when you think you're in a room, you think you know what's on all the bookshelves. And then Jen just went, Helen, there's another whole room over here you've never looked in. Open up this door and look in here. There's like a billion ways of looking at family history that I'd never even considered. It was so inspiring, so useful.
That sounds brilliant.
It was really good and really clever research tricks in there as well. So like your poor Edward Nelson, he died. So he is that little bit easier to trace because you have his date of death and you have the Commonwealth War Graves. You have those hard and fast facts to try and build out from to learn about his war years. But sometimes when we have ancestors who didn't die, which is a majority, thankfully, didn't die, but if their papers have been lost, suddenly you can end up feeling a bit at sea and not knowing where to look. So she had this really clever hack that, so you've got the unit war diaries, which we've talked about them before. They're brilliant. They give detail. I know you know, Nathan, but I was recapping quickly for anyone else in case they do. So quick, they give a day-by-day account of what the unit's doing through the war. Sometimes it can be quite boring, but that's useful to read anyway. It's not boring for us to read, but you can clearly understand the people are just behind the lines waiting, whatever. And then when there is a drama, they tend not to mention the soldiers. So the soldiers are the majority of our ancestors, not the officers. But you can know that your ancestor has been wounded from other records or family memories, but trying to find out what event they were wounded in can be really tricky because it's not named them in the war diaries. And so she had the brilliant hack that I'd never thought of, apologies to anyone else who has thought of it, is to find out the names of other people in the unit who've died and look up those people with their number and track them down in any which way you can, in other records, even the newspapers, and then go back from there. So you'll have dates about when they died. And if you know this person, let's say you know Private XYZ with number 12345 died on this date, and there may even be information about how he died, you can go back to the unit war diaries. And if you know that your ancestor was serving with them, then you can extrapolate that your ancestor, although they're not named as wounded, that's likely the event they were wounded in.
Right, that's good.
That's
kind of just like the same as doing your family tree, isn't it? Linking it through the marriage certificates, only applying it to war. Mm. Yeah, that's really interesting.
I thought it was clever.
Mm.
Yeah, really clever stuff.
I like it.
Mm. So one of my great-grandfathers, my dad always said he was injured in the First World War, and I've never had any luck finding out about him. And when he started off in the war, he was a soldier. So I'm hopeful I'm going to be able to find out some stuff about him by doing her tactic. Wish me luck, Nathan.
You'll have to let us know, definitely.
I will. Do you know what also which is happening? And I think we need to give this a little bit of thought. So this is the 50th episode of our podcast.
It is indeed.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Is it cool?
2 episodes time. We're even going to be doing this for 1 year.
It's our birthday.
And I think this is, we're not going to go back and we haven't got time to go back and listen to 52 hours of podcast. But we have talked about lots and lots of things we've done and been doing. Some of them we finished. Some of them, if we're honest, we probably haven't finished because we've got distracted by something else. So I want to have a bit of a think over the next few weeks about the things that I've half started and they go, right, I've really got to finish some of those off. Some of them finished, but some of them aren't.
Yeah, this is probably my opportunity to go back to my research log and make a note of all the rabbit holes that I marked to look at later that I've never gone back to. Because I keep saying that I'm going to go do that. I think for episode 52, that's probably a good one to reflect on.
Mm. And if anybody listening wants to take stock of their family history over the past year, so kind of through the end of 2024, through 2025, and let us know any projects that you've finished, which you're pleased that you like, yes, I've meant to do that for a long time and I've got that finished. So anything like that that you've accomplished, if you've got anything that you're halfway through, still pleased that you're plugging away at it and keeping persevering, yeah, just let us know how you're getting on, because we'd find that encouraging that we're not the only ones with a big pile of rabbit holes that we want to research and another big pile of rabbit holes that we're halfway immersed in.
Definitely. It's so dizzying, isn't it, when you let it get to you, when you think about everything. I'm there.
And partly it doesn't particularly matter, does it? Like every single time you do family history, you learn something, don't you? Well, I do anyway. I literally, even if I'm relearning something and go, oh, silly me, I forgot that.
You do. You're learning things, and like I feel like I'm growing as a human being. Like I keep saying this, I'm not very good on the history aspect of life. I'm very much, my life is very immersed in pop culture. So I quite like the fact that I'm growing in that way. And maybe I shouldn't be reflective now. Maybe I should wait for 52. It's just nice to like think, okay, I am thinking about history. I'm thinking about people. I'm not thinking about quirky film quotes all the time. It's growth.
They're important too.
Always. I mean, the number of film quotes I put in these podcasts that you never ever notice is unbelievable.
I am like, I'm a bit of a cultural desert with lots of things. Yes. Because some people, you read those like desert island discs, and we've had articles in the magazine before. So this is a guy called Keith Gregson, lives in Sunderland. He's an amazing folk musician, and he wrote an article about basically leaving a legacy for your descendants through a bunch of songs. They'd be like choosing 20 songs and going, this is me, these songs sum up me, like my vibe, what I'm into, my era I lived through. Yeah,
that sounds really cool.
Songs. It's really cool, isn't it? It was quite a few years ago. It was before you got into family history, Nathan. So I might dig it out for you. It's very good. Well, basically, I've told you what you need to do. You need to do what I've just said. Draw up a list of 20 songs.
I like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit self-indulgent as well, which, you know, occasionally we should allow ourselves to do, I guess.
But that's the thing. Partly, it might seem a bit self-indulgent, but imagine if your grandpa had done that for you. You would just love to listen to his list of 20 songs, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe.
I think you would, even if you might not like the music, but because they meant something to him, and they would inevitably be a time capsule, wouldn't they, reflecting lots of different eras?
Yeah, definitely.
Soundscape, that's what makes his heart sing when it comes on the radio or they're playing it down the pub or whatever. Yeah?
Yeah. No, that's a lovely idea.
It is a lovely idea, isn't it?
Yeah. I've probably mentioned this before. I've got I had a very good relationship with my nana, and a lot of songs that I listen to, I associate with her and very particular times in my childhood. And like, it's really daft, but I remember she was like listening to like Terry Wogan on Radio 2 and played Carly Simon's You're So Vain. And I hear that song and I can taste spam sandwiches that my nana had made me. So anytime that song comes on, I'm like, I love the song. I don't care about the lyrics, what they're on about, but it just reminds me of her and eating like ham sandwiches. So it's
It's just, you've already started your list of 20. Would it make the cut?
Well, that's her song, isn't it? That's not who I am, but it's nice. And like the other day I was with my mum and we had a game of cards, and again, we always used to play cards every Sunday. We'd go to my nana's house and we have a big family meal. Everybody would have lots of food. The adults would have a little bit too much to drink. We play cards and everybody would get giddy and silly. And my nana always wanted to listen to Lionel Richie. And so I was playing cards with my mum this last week and she was like, oh, we're playing Gin Rummy. We better listen to some Lionel Richie. And it was just that nice family association that's what we used to do. I just love stuff like that.
Yeah, it does sound really lovely. You're going to have to inflict it on your boys as well.
Oh, yeah, they already know.
Oh, okay, that's good. That's really good. That's really, really good. Yeah, so my list of 20 might be a list of 10, that's all, because I am such a rubbish.
Because you only know 10 songs.
Probably. Well, I'll have, maybe that could be my project for week 52. I can come up with 10 songs to sum up with my life.
Yeah, good challenge.
Yes, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to set myself any more things. What I need to do is work out what I want to prioritize and finish off between now and the end of the year.
Yes, that's a good thing, isn't it? I think I personally, I don't know if we're getting to this now, but I'm talking about it. I've got too involved in people. I haven't got too involved in people. I've got involved in particular people. And now I can feel the itch for just some quick, fast research and getting back a few generations again. I want to move away from stories and then get back. But I know that as soon as I get back on one person, I'll find somebody and there'll be a story. So who am I kidding? But I just feel I want to make my tree go further back. At the moment, it's static. But I'm getting a lot more details and texture about two or three particular people, which is great. And I know it's good, etc. But I feel like my tree hasn't moved.
I have to say, I do agree with you. Like, I love all the content stuff. I love all the stories stuff. Maybe it's like, whatever you're doing, you go, oh, this is the best bit of family history. Because when I'm doing that, I'm like, oh, this is the best bit of family history, all the stories and the context. But then when you are in a kind of tree building phase and you're rushing around gathering new people and you're having to think so hard about whether they are definitely the correct people. And when you can't find them, you're having to think so hard about how you're going to try and find whoever it is, you know, the next generation or the siblings or all the bits, then that's a very addictive feeling, isn't it? That hunting feeling,
It is. And the last time I did that, I pretty much had a clear path. Everybody led onto everyone else very easily. So it just felt like really easy wins. And all the people that I was going through, I wasn't finding any strange documents or rabbit holes to distract me. So it all felt very straightforward, which was a novelty in itself, but actually quite enjoyable. It's like, oh, look at this progress I'm making. This is brilliant. And yeah, I know it's not always going to be like that, but it felt good.
It is. It does feel good. With the people I'm working on, I'd made up this grand story that I found a GI bride being a distant relation via a DNA match or whatever. And then I just can't build the family tree back. And I think I've got it wrong. She was born in England, but I think actually her family went out to America. I think that's what happened. And so I'm not looking at a GI bride. I'm looking at a child who's born in England, who went out to America, who would have felt American, married an American soldier. So I think I might have to dismantle that story.
Right.
Story's all very well and good, but it was stopping my research because I kept struggling around in England trying to find the family. I think I've hopped back to England too quickly. I need to go back to America, try and find these people.
So how would you start that process then? If you
start from where I know where they are in America, and then just do the what we should always do, what we should always do. Work from where we are with what we know and then work backwards. Don't get one detail out of the blue and then make up a great big story and then get in your big hot air balloon and just float off and land down where you think could be a good idea. That's a really bad research strategy.
It sounds like fun though. Imagine the adventures you could have.
Yes, I do have adventures, but it's also a complete waste of time and very naughty. So
I love it.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, one day I'll learn. So have we got anything else that we need to talk about? I feel like lots of people have contacted us and I feel like I'm not giving them enough of a thank you, because we really love it, don't we? It's literally as soon as I get an email from anybody giving us a tip, and it's normally information for Nathan, then I just ping it right onto him immediately so that you don't have to wait a second longer than you need to.
Yeah, we've had a few. Obviously, a bit of banter on social media about lots of things as well.
I think we're all good. I think we just need to psych ourselves up for having actually accomplished a whole year of Family Tree Talk podcast. Make a clear list. It was going to be a bit of a confessional, isn't it, Nathan, of what we mean to be getting on with.
What we haven't done, yeah.
What we haven't done, what we've started but haven't finished.
Oh boy.
It's going to be a bit bad.
The episode.
Maybe not the whole list. We're just going to have a few chosen projects.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that long in the podcast episode, do we? It'd be like twice as long as normal.
Yes. Identify them and crack on with them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I have got one little project that I do want to sneak one little new project in under the radar. And it's for my little grandson, who, of course, is completely adorable. But his favourite question, or one of his favourite questions at the moment, is like, were they little? Were you little? And he just loves the idea that his mum was once little like him, or his dad was once little like him. The idea that Nana or Grandpa were once little, that's really stretching it. That makes his whole head explode, the idea that we were once little. We're just too old to be conceivably ever having been little. But I thought it'd be really good to make him a little board book with lots of ancestor pictures in, of ancestors as little people, and pictures I'd put of them as babies and kids. I can give him, that'd be a family history book for him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Quite a good guessing game for the entire family. Who is this child?
Yes. Maybe that's what I need to do. Not include their names in the thing, but have an index at the back, because to not include their names at all would just be very frustrating.
It would.
Yes. That would be bad.
Frowned upon.
And much frowned upon. But I think it would be a really lovely little book.
Yeah, that sounds really cute.
Mm. And because I love talking to him and he lives quite far away, then I thought I could, this is getting a bit ambitious now. I might ask you to help me with this, Nathan. So I could make little audio recordings of me going, this is your great-great-granny, a little anecdote about her. Mm. Record it as an audio, and then his mum can point her phone at the QR code and it will tell him little stories about their ancestors. Does that sound good?
It does sound good. It sounds fancy. And I don't know, just thinking about my kids, I debate their attention span, whether they'd actually listen.
Yeah, I'm going to try it out.
It's a cute idea. It might work, yeah. Can but try.
I will try.
I'm going to change this a bit slightly. I'm going to try and jump onto the last day or two of this Find My Past free records. Because I think I said to you before, I've got Benjamin somebody or other. I'm going to say Ward, because that's my surname. Benjamin Ward, who might have been in the RAF. So I've been too tight to actually pay any money to find out the facts on this. So that's going
to
be...
You do that. So just to fill in, so by the time the podcast goes out, the free military records of Find My Past are finished, because we have to record this a couple of days before, not long before, but because Nathan has to add the beautiful music at the start and the end, and we have lots of work to do, and we have bosses who suddenly tell us to do something we're not expecting. So we have to plan a little bit ahead. So the free records will have finished, but do keep an eye out, because all of the big data companies, when it comes to... anniversary events, maybe around the end of the year, Christmas and New Year, they'll sometimes give free records across their whole range of records. Sometimes it's just to a chosen subset, like obviously for the remembrance period of time, military records is a natural good fit. So do keep an eye out, particularly if you don't want to subscribe, which is completely understandable, to more than one website, then finding out what the other websites are doing is good. And on the, this is, I know I give it a plug every single week, but it is useful to sign up to. On our Family Tree e-newsletter, which if you go to www.family-tree.co.uk/newsletter-sign-up, then we do tell people about things like this. So there's major free records. And again, on social media, that's another good place to get information like that.
I'm impressed you rattled off that address then.
It's only taken me 50 episodes.
I mean, you've got it tattooed to your arm now, anyway.
I have.
That's always going to make it easier.
Yes, we're not allowed to move it anywhere else on the website. And if it gets a new URL, I'll be stymied, won't I?
Yeah. I do love the fact that they're doing those free records, but part of me is like, oh my God, it's another thing to do. But actually, calm myself down. If I make that the only thing I do, then at least I've done one thing.
Mm.
And hopefully that'll motivate me to do more.
Mm. It will definitely motivate you to do more, because you just won't be able to resist once you get a few more clues. It's
that rabbit in the headlights or deer in the headlights thing, isn't it? There's so much to do, you don't know where to start. But if you just do one thing, it'll push you on. And I feel like it would be daft of me not to use this opportunity to find out about this RAF record, because I'm so keen to have a pilot or somebody who's worked on planes or anything like that. I'll be annoyed with myself if I don't, so...
I think you've got to do that. We'll find out next time how you got on.
That's my homework.
Okay. Thanks for listening then, and we'll see you all next time.